2 Peter chapter 2. But there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also. There should be false teachers, who shall secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. So Peter is warning these believers that there's going to be bad people who call themselves Christians, who aren't really, and who even deny Jesus. But who denied Jesus? It was Peter.
Why?
Well, Peter denied Jesus, didn't he? Three times before the cock crowed. Before the cock crowed twice, Peter denied Jesus three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. So he says here that the worst thing these people do, the most awful, disgusting thing they do, is to deny Jesus. But actually, Peter had denied Jesus. And so you just see then how Peter is warning about other people's weaknesses, and yet he's fully aware that he himself has failed terribly, although he's been forgiven. And so that's how we should be when it does come a time, as it does sometimes, to say, look here, that is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. That must be said by us with an awareness that we also have sinned grievously and badly. And many shall follow their destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be blasphemed. And in covetousness shall they with feigned words, with false words, make merchandise of you. Their sentence now from of old does not linger, and their destruction doesn't slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to Tartarus, and committed them to pits of darkness to be reserved until judgment, well, I think we've got to understand that the Bible was not written in English. It was written in the Old Testament in Hebrew and in the New Testament in Greek. And the word that's translated angels is the same word translated messengers. And I think here the allusion is to Korah, Dathan and Abiram, who rebelled against Moses, and the earth opened and swallowed them. And they were condemned. So I think here he's giving a lot of examples from the history of Israel, and the people he's writing to would have known this because they were Jews. So I don't think he's talking about angels sinning in the Garden of Eden or up in heaven and getting chucked down onto earth or anything like that. He's referring to Korah, Dathan and Abiram, who sinned and were judged. And he's saying, look, if you sin, you're not going to get away with it. You're going to be judged. Because everyone who sinned in the Old Testament got judged. And he goes on, and God did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah with seven others, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. So only Noah and seven others were saved. And Noah preached. That's what you learn here, that he was a preacher of righteousness. So in the 120 years he was building the ark, he was preaching. But you might ask, well, how did he preach? Did he have meetings? Did he have lectures? Did he have a church? Maybe not. Maybe it was simply his example of faith in God's word of judgment, shown in his daily life that was centered around building the ark and getting the animals to come into it. That was maybe the preaching of righteousness by his example. And it's the same with us. If our life decisions are structured around the fact that Jesus is going to come back and that God will judge sin, well, that actually makes a witness to the world. Then he goes on, and he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them to destruction, having made them an example to those who should live ungodly lives, and delivered righteous Lot, who was distressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, tormented his righteous soul from day to day with their lawless deeds. So Lot is called righteous, but he might not seem to have been very righteous. I mean, when the angels came and stayed with him and the men of Sodom tried to attack them, he offers them his daughters, which didn't seem a very nice thing to do. And then afterwards, well, his wife turns back, gets turned into a pillar of salt, and God says, look, get out of here. Get right out of here. And he's like, oh, wait a minute. And it says the angels were merciful to him. and took his hand and almost pulled him out. Then he gets to the cave where he lives with his two daughters, and he gets drunk two nights running and gets his daughters pregnant, his own daughters. And yet God delivered righteous Lot for that righteous man. It says it twice. Dwelling among them, was tormented by their lawless deeds. It doesn't mean that sin is okay. I think it shows that a person in their heart, even if they're weak, may really believe, and God may count them righteous. That doesn't mean that we can just say, yeah, it doesn't matter, not at all. Therefore, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So this connects with what Paul says when he says that God won't allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. He will always make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. And this is Peter saying the same in different words. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So we must never say, well, I couldn't help but sin. It was all too much for me. No, again, as the psalm says, God will not allow the rod of the wicked to rest so heavily on the righteous that he puts forth his hand to iniquity. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment to the day of judgment. Chief among these are those that walk after the flesh in the lust of defilement and despise dominion. Daring, self-willed, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not dare bring before the Lord an injurious accusation against them. But these, as creatures without reason, born mere animals to be taken and destroyed, speak reproachfully in matters of which they are ignorant. They shall in their destroying surely be destroyed. Suffering wrong as the wages of wrongdoing, they count it pleasure to revel in the daytime, spots and blemishes, reveling in their deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart exercised in covetousness, children of cursing, forsaking the right way. They went astray, having followed the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of wrongdoing. So you're getting a picture here of people who, as it says, they can't stop sinning. Their heart is full of covetousness, their eyes are full of lust, they're always wanting more and more and more. We've got to be very careful that we are not caught up in that same spirit. They've gone in the way of Balaam, but he was rebuked for his own transgression. A dumb ass spoke with a man's voice and hindered the madness of the prophet. Well, yes, his donkey fell down underneath him and try to stop him going the way that he was going. Just as God will try to stop us from that headlong sort of way of just getting what I want, what me, I want all the time. Now the world glorifies that sort of behavior. But clearly this is not to be the way for us. These are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. So they appear, they promise that, yeah, I've got water in me, but actually they haven't. For whom the blackness of darkness has been reserved. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they're just empty. These people who want this, want that, have got, as I say, eyes full of lust and hearts full of covetousness. They're speaking words of emptiness. They allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error, promising them liberty while they are in fact slaves to corruption. For of whom a person is overcome, of the same is he also brought into bondage. So, just doing what you want is actually not freedom. You're actually being a slave. If that is the way you live your life, I'll just do what I want. You're a slave to your own lust. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it, to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow or a pig, having washed to her wallowing in the mire.